Hey, I'm Gary from Hoops and Cards, and you're listening to the NoOffSeason.com Sports Card Content Network. Be sure to subscribe to all of our podcasts, including Sports Card Strategy, Football Card Quest, and my show, Hoops and Cards. We're helping you make money to fund your PC and enjoy the hobby, because there is no off-season.
What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffSeason.com. You are consuming the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Graybo's breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount from Graybo's on Drip, Whatnot, or their website at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. You can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget to go premium at nooffseason.com. Get your free 30-day trial today to help you build your sports card investment portfolio. We have just launched Sports Card School at nooffseason.com. Check it out at sportscardschool.com. All of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show is from Market Movers. Get a free 14-day trial followed by 20% off for life by using the promo code NoOffSeason at marketmoversapp.com today. All right, you're about to enter a Wednesday deep dive with the Dr. Crack, Chad Gill, and Connor Barnett, our head of content at NoOffSeason.com. Connor and Chad, take it away.
What's going on, everyone? Hope everyone is doing well. I am here with Dr. Crack himself, Chad Gill, for our first iteration of Deep Dives. This will be our third Deep Dive so far, and these are going to air every other week on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Dr. Crack, how we doing? I'm happy to be here with you, sir.
I am doing great. Love to be here. So excited for this show to get kicked off and get a little bit of airtime without having to share the screen with Lefty and Paul. Not that it's a bad thing, but like a little bit of airtime myself. I love it.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming your way today, guys. If you can't see the screen and you're listening via podcast or wherever you listen to your podcast at, we're going to go through Chad's buying process, his recent pickups, some cash flow management stuff, whether you should or should not grade certain plays. And we're going to crack the code with Dr. Crack, where he breaks down one of my potential plays and if it is a good one to try to make some money. And one thing I want to put out there for the listeners, a question for you to keep in the top of your mind while you're going through the show with us, is think about what your long-term goals are. Chad has a lot of experience and a lot of expertise in this stuff, and he's going to give you a lot of good information to help you establish your guidelines to build strategies that help you make plays. But at the end of the day, you need to make sure you're picking the right ones, because we go through a lot of different strategies here between the Monday and Wednesday shows. Make sure you're picking the right plays that fit your long-term goal. And with that, Chad, I guess we will go ahead and hop right into things. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right. So as I'm pulling up my screen here for some tips, I want to talk about first making sure that everybody understands that card flipping is cyclical. What I mean by that is you are going to notice that as you get into the card flipping, you got to be thinking 3 to 6 months in advance. If you are thinking about trying to flip a card that you're going to do a week or two from now, you didn't leave yourself enough time. So it's a cyclical thing. You want to be thinking 3 to 6 months in advance so that you're prepared and you're ready and everything is good to go so that you can make and the most profits that you possibly can to make sure that you're flipping at the right time. So the article that is coming out here, so I'm doing a series of articles, Connor, on the top 10 prospects of our baseball rankings. And I believe the Roman Anthony is next up. That's either probably airing today or tomorrow.
Tonight, yep.
Tonight. So what I wanted to do was give some tips on helping to find some Roman Anthony. So when you come into eBay here, I like to search by the player first. So Roman Anthony, type in Roman Anthony. If there is another spelling, an alternate spelling, like, for example, Jackson Holidays, people might spell with one L, you might want to spell it both ways because you can sometimes find deals on people that misspell things. But for this play here, we're going to type in Roman Anthony, Bowman Chrome first. I don't want to get too narrowed down here with autos or the certain type of parallels because I want them all in here right now. Once I get that pulled up, you're going to, as you scroll down, you're going to see autos. You're going to see all kinds of different refractors and things of that nature. I want to search for ending auctions that are ending soonest. By doing this, I am going to find auctions that I can snipe. It is 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Not sure what time it is, where the time zone is you are right now. I like to find auctions that end after 10 p.m. Central, ideally. But you can make do with anything. So the first ones we're going to look at in the Roman Anthony is the Mojo or the Mega Box Refractor. That is one of the plays that we talk about doing in bulk. So the first card up here, it ends in 2 hours and 8 minutes. The average last selling price of this card was $10. This has, somebody started this at $5 with a buy it now of $12, and with 2 hours to go, nobody's bid on it yet. So this is a card you might be able to get cheaper than the $10. So here's some tips. First things that I like to do is when I click onto the card, I want to check the centering of the card. So I like to use this magnifying tool here and blow it up and take a look and just kind of eyeball. If you can see, this card is, I don't know if you can tell this, Connor, or not. This card's a little bit off-centered left to right. The left border is a little bit heavier than the right. So this is a card that I would not recommend taking a look at. So I'm going to hit the back button. Next card down the list, another Roman Anthony. Look at the refractor. This one is slightly off-centered. It's a little better than the first, but if it's to the naked eyeball, if you can tell that that card is off-centered, once you put the centering tool on it, it is going to not be any good. So I'm going to skip the autograph, the green autograph that's out of the price range of what we're looking for. Here's one, $7, one bid, 6 hours to go. This is the perfect scenario here for my tip. It ends, if you can see this, it ends at 1:23 a.m. There's a very high likelihood that there is going to be nobody on this card. So the one bid somebody typed in, whether they clicked it at $7 or maybe they put in $8 or $9, the average is $10. If the card looks good, let's click on it. And this card is centered absolutely perfectly. Top to bottom, left to right. Does not seem to be any nicks on the corners. So this is a card that I would consider adding to my watch list. But before I do it, there's a couple of things you want to do. You want to look at the seller's rating. This guy has sold, he's got 75 sales and 100% positive feedback. So this person hasn't been selling for very long, but the 100% positive feedback is essential. I do not want to be dealing with somebody that has a, you know, 80, 70, 60% positive rating. I want a 90%. I may consider somebody in the high 90s, but 100% is what I'm looking for. The other thing I want to do is look at the seller's other items. So see other items that he's selling. I want to find out, does this buyer grade cards? So as you scroll through his cards here, it appears as though most of everything he is selling is ungraded. So that is a good sign. So I think that this is a card that I would add to my watch list, and I would go and bid on this card. Does that make sense, Connor?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of tips packed into there, guys. So let's go ahead and recap real quick, Chad. So one of them being, if you're going to buy raw cards, look for a seller, one that has good reviews, good history there, and two, mostly sells ungraded. And Chad, you want to explain real quick why we're looking for to buy raw cards from people that typically sell only raw?
Yes. So the reason that you want to look at somebody that sells either all raw or mostly raw is if it's somebody that does a lot of grading and they're selling a raw card, it's probably a card that either they already know is not going to gem or get a, you know, get a PSA 10. When I say gem, I'm talking about a PSA 10 or a 10 SGC 10, a perfect score, if you will. They either know that it's not going to get a 10, or they are just looking that maybe they already sent it in and it got an 8 or a 9 and they cracked it out and they're trying to sell it that way and they're hoping that they can capitalize and get some money back. So it's really important that you look at sellers that have high feedback ratings. I prefer to deal with somebody that's either at 100% or real close to 100%, and I always look at the seller's other cards to see whether or not they sell graded cards. So this Roman Anthony that we picked out here for $7 is the perfect storm. It's less than, right now it's at $7, so it's $3 less than the last recorded sale on Market Movers at $10. It ends at a perfect time, 1:23 a.m. Nobody's going to be up bidding against you on this card. So whatever bid this guy put in on it, all you have to be is over that, and you're going to end up winning this card. The centering on the card looks perfect. I did not see any flaws in the pictures. So with 100% feedback rating, this is a card that I would absolutely buy.
I love the breakdown there, Chad. I think even for people that didn't have visuals on this one, you did a phenomenal job of explaining all the steps in your process and the small tips that help pan out, help you snipe cards below market value there. So fantastic job there, Chad. One thing that I want to do as well today is I want to talk about some of the cards that you've been picking up lately using some of the similar processes. And if you'll break down why you're adding them to the portfolio and what direction they kind of help you move in, that'd be lovely as well.
Yeah. So the purchases that I've made recently, I'm just going to do what I picked up yesterday, for example, because I buy a lot of cards. To talk about my last 2 weeks worth of purchases, I don't know if we have enough time for that. So the cards that I bought yesterday were all from Facebook. I did not buy any cards yesterday off of eBay or any other site. All of my purchases were Facebook purchases. I've been on a Bowman Chrome baseball kick right now because we're in the off season and baseball prices are either holding steady or they're starting to fall. So I'm looking for some deals, somebody that's looking to unload their cards prior to the fact that they know the off season is coming and they want to get as much as they can and get out so they can move it into something else. So right now there's a lot of deals to be had in Facebook groups where people are in need of the money. So the first one I found was, there's going to be a theme here. They're Brewers. So we talk about Flyers, Heroes, and Goats. These are Flyer plays. Everything I bought yesterday is a Flyer. So these are not plays that I recommend for anybody that's just starting out. For those that are watching for the first time, I've got a million card collection. I cast a very wide net. So I've got a lot of experience in narrowing my focus and going wide in my focus. And I go with a lot of Flyers that some pan out and some don't. So we'll talk about narrowing your focus in another segment here. But Jacob Mizorowski is a pitcher in the Milwaukee Brewers organization. We don't normally look at pitchers for investable items. However, Jacob Mizorowski is a unique talent. A, he's in the Milwaukee Brewers farm system, which I collect. So anytime I take a flyer on a Milwaukee Brewer prospect, if they don't pan out, it's okay. I throw them in my million card pile and I add them to my Brewer collection. So that's the first thing that you need to know when you're looking at this. But he set a major league record this summer and in his debut for the Appleton Timber Rattlers, which is about a half hour from my house. He set a major league record for the most consecutive pitches in a debut over 100 miles an hour. This kid throws absolute gas. He hit 104.1 miles an hour in his debut in Appleton. He threw 11 pitches in his first inning, and only one of them was 99.6 miles an hour. Everything else was over 100 miles an hour, which was a Major League Baseball record. And the best part about it was they were almost all strikes. So he's got good control. He throws gas. He's moving up the Brewers system rapidly. He went from the Arizona Fall League to A to high A, all within a short period of time this summer. So I'm high on the kid. I found a Bowman Chrome First Auto ungraded for $30. And if you can pick up a prospect that you think has a chance of making the major leagues in an auto for $30, very low risk involved there. And the guy also had a green refractor, a Bowman Chrome First. So that's numbered to 99, not an auto, but that was $10. So again, for a low serial numbered refractor for $10, there's not a lot of risk involved in this play. And even if the guy doesn't pan out, like I said, I'm okay with that because he's a Brewer and I'm going to add him to my pile. The next player that I bought was from a different seller on the Bowman Chrome buy sell Facebook site. I scrolled down a little bit further. This guy was in financial trouble. He was unloading all of his Bowman stuff, all the top stuff, all the holidays, the woods, the Cheerios, they were all sold. He had a lot of nice stuff, but everything was sold and it was pretty picked over. And I started scrolling through and I found another player that is on our top 50, Jefferson Quero. He is a catcher in the Brewers organization. And this guy had, again, a base auto for $30. So much like the Mizorowski play, an auto for $30 for a player that I think is going to make the major leagues in the next 2 years. Couldn't pass that up. And then he had a gold non-auto numbered to 50. And those are pretty rare. And the thing looked in good shape. And he threw that in for another $10. So for $40, I got both cards. Again, very low risk. So I spent $80 on those four cards. And again, if Quero and Mizorowski don't pan out, I'm okay with it because they're Brewers and I add them to my extensive Brewer collection. So that's why I took the risk on those players. However, I do think that Quero and Mizorowski both could and will be with the club by 2025. So this is a year and a half type flyer play. The next and last card that I bought yesterday was another Bowman Chrome auto. The guy's name is John Kensey. It looks like Jay Konski. John Kensey is his name, Noel. He is was a prospect in the Cleveland organization. The kid he's the 28th ranked prospect in Cleveland's organization. So he is not even he's not in the top 100 of anybody. He's not even in the top 20 for Cleveland. So why in the hell am I buying him? I bought him because it's a Bowman Chrome auto. for $9. A Bowman Chrome base auto for $9. Now, let me tell you about the kid. He's 23 years old. In the last 2 years, he has jumped from A to high A to double A to triple A. And in the last 2 years at triple A, last matter of fact, year and a half, he is second in all of the minor leagues with home runs. He has mashed 59 home runs in the last year and a half at triple A. That is going to be very hard for Cleveland not to put into his, eventually get him up and put him into a lineup. He strikes out a lot. He doesn't hit for a lot of average, but when the guy swings, it's, you know, close your eyes and swing hard in case you hit it. That's his philosophy. But when he hits it, the ball goes a country mile. And I love taking flyers on players that can mash the baseball. Because when you can hit that many home runs, like, for example, this year he hit 33 home runs in the minor leagues in AAA. That's a lot of home runs at a very high level. There's a chance that at some point Cleveland might need some offense and they'll bring him up just for a small drink of water in the majors. And when that happens, that $9 auto probably jumps to 50 or 60 bucks and you can 5 or 6X your money. If he never makes it to the majors, I'm out $9, not a problem.
Yeah. Phenomenal breakdown there on those flyer picks, Chad. And something I actually talked with Lefty about this morning during our deep dive was that even with y'all's flyer plays, you're using guidelines to build your flyer strategies that mitigate a little bit of the risk. So let's kind of go through those picks real quick. You start off with Mizorowski, the Brewers flamethrower, right?
Yep.
Okay. He reminds me just off the, I don't know him very well, but off of the rip, off of your description, he reminds me of like a Ben Joyce, right? Someone that just absolutely throws gas and media loves that kind of stuff. So if he does get the call up to the bigs and he goes in there and throws 8 pitches over 100 miles an hour in an inning, he's going to be all over SportsCenter. So not only do you have sell markers of him going to the bigs, but you have more markers that you've created for yourself on a flyer play that's super affordable. Jefferson Cuero, even though he's a flyer play, he's number 20 on our baseball rankings at nooffseason.com. So that's one of your more stable flyer plays within this listing. And then we finished with Noel, who to me sounds like a Kyle Schwarber type player, right? Smashing baseballs.
Exactly right.
It's the same kind of thing as Mizorowski. Although even though he's not pitching and he's hitting, he's got the highlight plays in the baseball world. So he's more likely to draw attention, even though he doesn't hit for high average. Nobody cares in terms of the highlights. They're going to show him hitting 2 home runs, even though his last 10 at-bats, he struck out 6 times. So I think you've done a good job here of, one, finding phenomenal deals through Facebook, the upside of Facebook there. And two, even though they're flyer plays, you've given yourself plenty of evidence to make these plays. They're not just random picks, guys. So Chad's not necessarily recommending you just go find anything super cheap on Facebook. He knows his knowledge. He knows what he's talking about. He's being really smart in terms of these flyer plays. Now, are they going to pan out? Potentially, potentially not. But it's such a low investment, and he's done his research, that it makes sense for his portfolio.
And the other key that you didn't touch on, I scratched the surface of, but you didn't catch it, is when you're going to make a flyer play like that, make it from your hometown heroes. So Mizorowski may never make it to the big leagues, but he is going to, if he gets to AAA Beloit, which is also in Wisconsin, he may never need to go to the big leagues, and I can triple my money on that card because somebody at a card show in Milwaukee or Janesville is going to be looking for the Mizorowski because he's a 100-mile-an-hour relief pitcher that they just love going and watching. So when you're going to go with your flyers, make sure that you have some relevance as to why you're picking the flyers, but there's not much better than hometown players in your own state. They will bring more money in your state than they will in a, you know, online or in another state. So
that's a great point. It's a great point. It's just another piece of exposure for these cards, right? So Chad's just loaded up on flyers that have exposure to potentially, if you're going to make the investment and you have the bandwidth to do so, you want to have the upside, and Chad's making sure that he has the markers for the upside there. So, before we hop into our cash flow management discussion and strategies for the week, One thing I do want to talk about is, like, you're making these flyer plays, but let's talk about narrowing focus. You mentioned that for beginners, you don't necessarily recommend picking up as many flyers. I'm guessing because you want more stability in your portfolio. So for someone like me, let's stay in the baseball realm. We'll do our own mini version of our 1K budget builder that we do with Lefty. So for someone like me, let's pretend like I have $500 to $1,000 that I'm looking to invest to start my portfolio, and I want to stay in the baseball prospect realm. What's your way to go there, Chad?
Stay narrow. Go narrow, stay narrow, and don't go risky. Go as surefire as you can. Until you build up a bankroll or a portfolio, you cannot afford to go with the flyers. You can't afford to have the risk. So I would recommend that you look at the top two, three. I wouldn't even go four deep. I would stay with the top three on the baseball card rankings, and I would focus on those three and only those three, and you will make money on those three players this year. All three of the top three players will be in the big leagues in 2024 at some point. If not out of spring training, very shortly after. They've all got way too much hype behind them to end up staying in the minor leagues. So I would narrow my focus to the top three.
Yeah, and I think that our Lefty does a fantastic job on our baseball rankings every month. I think that we have it very closely mirrors what you'll see in the baseball rankings from like MILB.com or MLB.com. But we have everything that you guys need there. We have the sell window. We have the links to the cards. We're working on getting a column for snipe prices, so where you should be looking to pick these cards up at. We've got everything in order there. So I think that's probably a good spot to start for someone like me that's looking to invest in baseball, baseball prospects specifically, which we recommend, and add stability to your portfolio with some surefire plays there.
Yeah, so when you're first starting out, Connor, the easiest thing to prospect, if there is such a thing as easy, is baseball. They have markers. They're guaranteed markers. The top players on the top 100, the top few, will make the major leagues. And when they do, their cards jump. It's the most sure thing in the card industry that you can find. So I would recommend for anybody getting started in the card flipping to start with baseball. And now is a perfect time because you've got 6 months to prepare.
Yeah, that was the other thing I want to touch on. On top of all the decision making tools that you use for your flyers, we're in prime time, just about to enter the peak of buying these baseball prospects during the offseason, right? So,
yep.
You're giving yourself an even bigger window to make and increase your profits there. So, even though we don't necessarily recommend those flyer plays for people that don't have the bandwidth that Chad has, which is it's an impressive bandwidth. He has the stability in his portfolio to go make these plays on a weekly basis without concern, and he just gains from the upside. So if they lose, he can move on to the next one because he's gaining money from the stable assets, those heroes and goats that he has inside his portfolio.
Yep.
And with that, I think we'll go ahead and hop into our cash flow management discussion for the week. So this week we're going to talk about new releases that are coming out. Right now, I actually have one that came out today, and then we've got two more to discuss. And the question is, the question for these releases is pretty simple. Should we be moving out of other assets within our portfolio to try to move into upcoming releases? And, or should we fade upcoming releases and instead spend our cash flow in other areas? Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah. So and we at the Sports Card Strategy, I think Lefty and Paul will agree with me on this. Typically, buying wax is a bad investment. You've heard me refer to it as lighting money on fire. There are very few releases that give you the ability to make money. There are plays that can be made for those. It's certainly a lot of fun. So don't get me wrong. I buy wax with disposable income that I can light on fire for the entertainment value. I don't do it to make money. I do it to have fun with my kids. I do it to get some of the new products. I do not do it with any expectation of making money. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule. Bowman Draft drops on December 12th, I believe. The pre-order is already in. They are sold out at Tops. And it releases in mid-December. Bowman Draft Baseball is a product that I have yet, knock on wood, never lost money on a box of Bowman Draft Baseball. There are so many prospects and autos and parallels in that it generally pays for the box, especially when you get a few graded. There's just so many prospects. It takes some time. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to make your money on that box overnight. It might take you a year or two for the prospects to all get to the big leagues for you to profit on that box. But Bowman Draft Baseball is a product that I spend money on every year with expectations of making money. Another one will be every now and then, just like Victor Wembanyama is changing the basketball world, every now and then you get an athlete that comes along that they talk about as being a generational talent. They have that in hockey this year. His name is Connor Bedard. For those that don't watch hockey, and I'm not a hockey fan, I can't stand watching hockey. I do like making money, and I do collect hockey cards. I know enough about hockey to be dangerous. Connor Bedard is a stud. In his rookie season, he is doing things already that has the best of the best scratching their head going, I've never seen anybody like this guy. And, you know, since fill in the blank, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Alexander Ovechkin, the top players are saying this kid is unbelievable. His Young Guns, which is the card to have for hockey, his Young Guns will be coming out in Series 2 Upper Deck, which releases in January. Upper Deck hockey does not sell for a lot for hobby boxes. It's less than $200 typically, unless they raise it because of Connor Bedard. It's usually less than $200 for a hobby box. For a chance to get a Connor Bedard, there's an upcoming release that I could spend some money on wax. Outside of those two, there's nothing coming out in the next 3 to 6 months that I would want to spend with the anticipation that I could get my money back.
I love it. Yeah, it's a good breakdown there, Chad. And those two releases make a lot of sense for a lot of the things that we talk about. So essentially what you're saying is for people trying to manage their cash flow right now, you should primarily be investing in singles. And we pitch a lot of singles. We pitch a lot of strategies in place. If you're dead set on buying wax, you got Bowman Draft on December 12th and you got Upper Deck Young Gun Series 2, which you're really just doing to try and pull Connor Bedard there. So outside of those, Chad, I have a couple more that I wanted to ask you about just for my own curiosity. Sure. One of them being 2023 Panini Donruss Football that comes out December 1st. So I write our weekly buys and sells. We recommend a lot of Donruss sells for quarterbacks, it seems like lately, or Panini sells. It's been like Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott that I've seen a lot. Optic/Donruss. Is this a release worth trying to look at just because we have a lot of good rookie talent within like CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and guys like that to try and pull one of those guys?
Yes, but not now. Okay. Do not fall into the FOMO, the fear of missing out, and try and go and buy yourself a box of Donruss football. Let somebody else take the $100, $200 loss by buying that hobby box for $350 and getting $100 worth of product. Buy the singles in the off season. Wait until March, April, May, June, and buy the quarterbacks that you want that are on the market and get them graded yourself before football season next year. Do not buy the box. It is, unless you want to have fun and you have the disposal you want, you have $350 that you're like, you know what? I've got Panini points, or I've got some buybacks from the Tops, you know, exchange, and you want to buy some Tops products. If you've got some money and you want to do it, go ahead. But do not buy the Donruss football expecting to turn a profit on that box.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And the guys that you'd be that I or you would be trying to pull from these are rookies that are performing well right now, which are probably people we're not that interested in right now because they're at a peak rather than when we're trying to buy them at dips. So that's a good point there.
And the reason why these boxes have even less value than normal is all of the top rookies will not have any autograph cards. So even when you buy the box that says you're guaranteed 2, 3, 4, 5 autographs in a box, your top rookie quarterbacks won't have autographs in that box. They have exclusive deals. They're not going to be in any Donruss. They're not going to be in Prism. They're not going to be in National Treasures. Unless they do a Topps Now or a Panini Now, Panini Instant, which they've done with a couple of them. The CJ Stroud had less than 200 cards sold when that it was $349. I wish I would have got in on it. That card in a PSA 10 just sold for $4,000 after he went off. So, and it was $350. The raw card is selling for $1,100. So you aren't there. There's no big chase to go after. That you, yes, you could get some autographs, but the autographs you're going to get aren't of anybody that's going to carry the value.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a great breakdown there for you guys thinking about trying to invest in wax and trying to chase releases when there's just better positions to put yourself in with singles that we're recommending on weekly basis and tons of them. So I think that's a good breakdown there, Chad. I think we're good to go ahead and roll into to grade or not to grade as long as you don't have anything else in terms of cash flow management.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So I would like to preface with the audience that this is an area that I am very inexperienced with. Which is awesome that I get to be with Chad today because he is Mr. Experience. He's been doing this for a long time. So for me, something that I'm just not up to speed with is figuring out what cards would be good plays to try to purchase raw in order or in hopes of getting them graded just to raise the value of those cards. So Chad, I'm going to lay out three different picks that I have for you. And my rationale for why I think they could or maybe shouldn't be a gradable play that you're trying to make. And then you can give me feedback there. And then once we roll through those, I would like to get some feedback for you on what brands slash sets slash releases typically do gem well for people to try to look at when making these plays.
Okay.
So let's start off with my first pick, Ethan Salas, 2023 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto. We've been talking a lot about baseball prospects already in this show. And he's just outside that top 10. So he's not someone that's going to be in Dr. Crack's corner for the articles, but he is high on our list of prospects. So you can pick up his 2023 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto for under $200 in raw. And if it's a PSA 10, it jumps up to $500. It's a card that gems at almost a 65% clip. Is that a gem rate that we feel comfortable trying to buy? And what other tools are you trying to use when you're looking at these cards outside of maybe centering to make these plays effectively?
Well, back to the eBay tips was make sure that the guy's got a high seller rating, make sure that he's not selling any graded cards or very few graded cards. That's going to be real important. Centering is going to be another issue that you got to do if they have the more pictures they have to see if there's flaws on them, that's important as well. But the Ethan Salas play, I love the play, and here's why. What you didn't touch on is the single most important thing that I look at when I determine if it's a good play or not a good play. The gem rate is important, 64%. That is a very good, very high gem rate. It's not the most important data. The most important data is it's $197 raw. If I don't get a 10 and I get a 9, what happens to my $197? PSA 9 most recent sale on that card was $351. I'm making $100+ at a PSA 9 and I'm breaking even at a PSA 8. That almost has no risk involved. The card would have to be damaged or you'd have to miss something drastically for it to get a PSA 8 or lower. So that is a card that you could put a great big giant asterisk by. For all the listeners, they should be going out and making that play. If you can buy one at $200 that looks good, right now, there's almost no loss to be had. Could those cards drop? We're coming into the off season. That's where your risk is involved. You don't know when you get the card back in 90 days from PSA what those cards are going to do. But with him being a prospect that's going to get hype in spring training, that's a play I would make all day long.
I love it. All right. So we're one for one so far, but I think I might be switching to one for two after the second one. It's a little bit sketchier, in my opinion. We're looking at SGA Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's 2018 Prism Silver. And I actually did make notes of PSA 9 values on this one. So you can pick it up raw right now for about $60. PSA 9, if you get that return, you're looking at an $80 card. And if it's a 10, you're looking at over a $500 card. And while those numbers sound really appetizing, for me, the big difference here is that the gem rate of this card is just 12%. So at that 12% marker, do I need to have concern that I'm not even going to get a 9 for one of these?
Yes. From a personal experience, I have graded 11 of these cards from raw, and I've got a very good eye for doing it. I have gotten only two for 11. That's about the 12% rate. So I'm right there in there with the national average. I've gotten two tens. I've gotten eight nines, and I got 1 8. So that is an extremely hard card to get a PSA 10 on. The PSA 9, just like I said, the most important data, the PSA 9 sells for $80. So there's not a lot of risk involved there. Because when you add the PSA 9 into the gem rate data, you have a 12% chance at a PSA 10, but you've got over a 50% chance that it's going to get a PSA 9. So you've got a 60, you're back into that mid 60% range that it's going to get a 9 or a 10. So there's not a ton of risk there, because at $80, you'll lose out on some shipping and some fees, but you would almost break even on a 9. So it's not a play I would recommend. So I would fade that one. So yeah, I would say you're one for two. Because I would look for something with a higher rate, a better return. And that's a play for somebody that wants to play in a little bit of riskier money.
Okay. That makes sense. The third guy that I have picked sits kind of in between my thoughts of risky and healthy stability in terms of trying to grade cards to increase value. It's going to be Joe Burrow's 2020 Optic Holo. Raw, you can pick this card up for $95 right now. If you get a PSA 9 return, you're looking at $130 to help cover those grading costs. So I think that mitigates some of the risk there. And then PSA 10s jump above $430. The gem rate for these is a little bit under 50%. It's 45.22%. But one of the things that would make me more comfortable chasing this option is that the markers that we have for Joey B moving forward in the season, they're currently the bottom of the AFC North, but they're showing big improvements. And I think that some of the teams above them, they're going to beat out, and we're going to see a similar result for the Bengals playoff push that we saw last year. So should that be a factor that I'm trying to make in terms of looking at graded cards? Is marker upside worth challenging myself with? And is Joey B's Optic Holo a good play to try to get graded?
Yeah, so that is a card that it's an important thing. At the beginning of the show, I said you always want to look at 3 to 6 months out. Joey B and the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that I believe are going to make noise come playoff time. I think they're going to make the playoffs. Regardless of where they're in the standings right now, I believe in Joey B. He's a gamer. And his cards, the last 2 years, his cards have spiked in January and February as he goes on that playoff run. So, yes, I do think Joey B's cards are going to go up as the season goes on. Raw is $95. A PSA 9 is $122. The gem rate is 45% for a PSA 10. But there again, the more important number is you've got another 45% at PSA 9. So you've got a 90% chance at a 9 or a 10. I like those odds. Even if it gets a 9, you're going to break even on it. That is a card worth taking the risk on. So you are 2 for 3 tonight, Connor.
2 for 3. I'll take my percentages. That'd be a good shooting percentage in basketball. So I'll take it there. I think as we get deeper into this, I think that we'll get much more intricate in terms of what I bring your way as I gain knowledge into potential graded plays. But we'll definitely take 2 for 3 for the first week. Good expertise there from Chad, and we're going to get some more in this next segment. It's a segment that we call Crack the Code. So as we've discussed, Chad makes tons of plays. He's got a tons of his own guidelines to build his strategies. And he's got so much experience in terms of finding out what wins and what loses. I, on the other hand, do not. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners like you that don't quite have the bandwidth that Chad has or the experience. So I think that my picks here will give you guys good insight onto trying to apply some of the things we talk about on the Monday show and today's show and the show with Lefty. So let's hop into that. My pick is a little bit of an odd one, I think. But it's Jimmy Butler. So his 2012 Prism-based PSA 10 rookie card. Right now, you can pick it up for just over $100. It was $103 last time I checked for the most recent sale, which is 55% down over the last 180 days. Why did I pick 180 days? Because if you look back before those, right before those 180 days, we see some serious spikes. It's really within those 180 days as well. So it sold above $250 12 different times between May and June of this year, which to me shows good upside in terms of how many times I was traded. It wasn't an anomaly necessarily. The Heat are off to a slow start. Jimmy's off to a slow start. He's averaging just 18 points a game on barely shooting over 40% from the field. However, Bam Adebayo is playing on a Kevin Garnett type level in year 7. If you compare their numbers, they're extremely similar. Bam is averaging 23 points, 10 boards, and 4 assists, while KG averaged 21, 12, and 5. Tyler Hero has been elite as a third option. He's shooting over 40% from 3 and scoring 23 a game. And in my experience, it seems like Jimmy Butler just doesn't really care until the playoffs start. And everyone just sleeps on the Heat every year. So right now, I think it's kind of a perfect storm. We've got that card discounted. He's got co-stars that are playing well and showing maturity. Jimmy doesn't care right now, and the Heat are an underdog, which I think is probably playing into some of the dip that we're seeing in Jimmy Butler's card market. So my play would be to buy now and then sell once we get to the playoffs and everyone does the same thing they do every year, thinking the Heat are nothing, and wow, the Heat are another sleeper contender, raising eyes on Jimmy Butler as he does his usual 40-point games in the playoffs, and then at that point, I'm ready to sell. That was a mouthful. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to ring the bell here. You hit an absolute dinger. Jimmy Butler, this play is one that I made. It's a card that I purchased 2 weeks ago. I just got it in the mail today. That card is a card that will double or triple in value if the Heat make a run in the playoffs. I don't care. Jimmy Butler doesn't care about regular season. He just wants to be good enough to make the playoffs. He shows up when Jimmy needs to show up. So don't get too worried about his numbers. But Jimmy Butler for $110 or $103, that is the lowest that that card has been since March of 2020. Pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That card is essentially free at $103. That is a great pick, great play. Dr. Crack endorsed.
Let's go. Crack the code with Dr. Crack, guys. We're going to be having those coming every week. It might be one, it might be two different plays. I'm very happy with my performance today, though. We went 2 for 3 on Should We Grade, and we're 1 for 1 on trying to crack Chad's code. So in terms of content, that's pretty much most of what we have today, but we do have some interesting questions from the audience to hop into our Q&A with Chad. So we'll go ahead and hop into the Q&A and give some feedback to these live listeners and watchers of the show. Starting off with Mark D. He's got a question on grading. He bought a lot of 30 Jackson Holiday Bowman Chrome first. Congrats, Mark D, which he will grade the good ones. It came with 30 Bowman Chrome Air Apparent inserts and 60 Draft Day inserts. Should he grade the inserts here?
No. Take the Bowman Chrome first, grade those, and I would not grade the inserts. I would sell them raw. The inserts don't have a lot of desirability, so I'm afraid that anything that doesn't get a 10, you're losing money on. So even at a 50% PSA 10, I don't foresee that card selling for much more than $40 in a PSA 10, maybe $50 in a PSA 10. You'd have to get almost a 60 or 70% PSA 10 in order for that to pan out. So sell those raw, get the first graded, and you will make lots of money on the Bowman Chrome first. Nice play, Mark.
Yep. There you go, Mark. Good feedback from Chad there, and congrats on the Jackson Holiday pickups. I think everyone at the NOAA season family seems to be trying to pick these up as often as possible. So we hope you get some good grades there and can turn some strong profits. Up next, we got Barry Siff. They have some pretty nice current NBA cards. They want to get graded, but they don't want to wait for PSA's return. Beckett or SGC, do you strongly recommend PSA and be patient? They got guys like Tyrese Maxey, Chet Holmgren, Shea Gilchrist-Alexander. What should they do for grading here, Chad?
Barry, thanks for the question here. You can go to SGC, and you're going to get a two-week turnaround time. SGC will sell quicker, better, faster than BGS. Stay away from Beckett. It just, they don't sell as well. They are an absolute mess of a company right now. Unless it's a thicker patch card that you want to, they do okay with those, but their turnaround times aren't great right now. You'd be better off going to PSA because you'll probably get them back quicker than you would through Beckett. SGC is certainly a fast option. If they're bigger, Barry, you might want to consider the $40 option, which is 20-day guaranteed time. It's a week longer than it would take through SGC, but then you'd get the PSA label on it. Now, SGC is only $15, so the extra $25, you'd want to look and see what, make sure that the PSA 10 selling for more than $25, more than the SGC 10. Before you sent them in, but I would either do the 20-day $40 play at PSA, or I would send them to SGC for $15. Those, if you really wanted a fast turnaround. But PSA is always the recommended for the best resale value.
Yep. Good stuff there, Chad Barry. We hope that helps you, sir. Up next, we got Card Banker 20, who I actually mistook for Card Snatcher in the comments during the live show. So I apologize there, Card Banker, but do you like Sapphire and Mojo first if you don't want to invest too much capital in the autos? I'm assuming they're referring to Bowman Chromes.
Love Sapphire. Sapphire might. I don't know what he thinks of the Sapphires, but I love the Sapphire play. I might like the Sapphire play as much or more than an auto. Paul would probably tell me I'm crazy on that. I just love the way that they look, that blue cracked ice look with the Sapphire. It's just an absolutely gorgeous card. They are very desirable. They sell as well or better than some of the numbered parallels. They certainly sell better than the purple numbered 250. The Mojos are a step up from the base. And I do like the Mojo refractors. But from an investment standpoint, if you have read any of the first seven articles that have come out so far for the rankings, the articles I've been sending out on the baseball prospects, you will see that the Sapphires generally make quite a bit more than the Mojos.
Good stuff there. We got three more questions, guys. If we don't get to your question during the audience Q&A, make sure to drop a question on the YouTube video. We will be sure to answer you there. We want to provide as much value as we can in as many areas. We got three more questions left. First one coming from Hobby News Daily. They see the settlement with Panini and WWE. Should we expect more settlements coming? What do you know about this, Chad?
Yeah, that came down today. It's nothing that's shocking. Everybody kind of knew it was coming. There's going to be more settlements as it goes. It's going to take some time. Yes, there will be more settlements coming, but I don't anticipate like a matter of days. It'll probably be, you know, a settlement now. There might be another announcement in a couple of weeks, maybe another one in December. They've got quite a few lawsuits going on right now. So you're going to hear news coming out as the holidays get closer. Yes, I do expect more settlements to come.
Up next, we got the Mickey Shuffle, who sent this question in, but they do have an asterisk after. So should you buy Bowman first autos if they are cheaper than raw autos of the same card? they forgot to add PSA 9. So I'm assuming, should you buy PSA 9 first autos if they're cheaper than raw autos of the same card? Is how I interpreted that.
Yeah. If you can get a PS, so when you buy a raw card, and we've talked about this with the gem rates, you've probably got a 50-50 chance that the thing is going to come back a 9 or lower. So a 9 is not a bad grade in an auto. 9s sell very well in autos. They don't bring the 10 money, but they sell very, very well. So a 9 is investable. It is flippable. At time of call-up, the 9s do jump, just like the raws do and the PSA 10s do. I have a little bit of ethics involved in what I do, so I don't believe in capitalizing on this, but I know a lot of people do. If, say, for example, a PSA 9 you can get for $100 and the raw sells for $150, there's nothing stopping you from cracking that, buying it at $100, cracking it out, selling it for $150 and profiting $20 after fees. That is the reason why, though, I tell you at the top of the show to make sure that you're buying from somebody that does not have graded cards, because that is a very real thing that a lot of people do focus on.
Good stuff there, Mickey Shuffle. We hope that helps answer your question. Rounding off the show, we got a question from some users watching on Facebook, and there was a question or a comment from you guys earlier that said, how do I catch the first half of the show if I join late? The show will be on all streaming platforms within a couple hours of us ending this stream. So head over to Spotify, head over to YouTube or nooffseason.com to get the full breakdown. But this question, and I'm sorry, I cannot see your name, so feel free to comment it. I'm preparing my first ever submissions for grading. What are some subtle defects that often lower grades? Close inspection is revealing tiny issues on the surface or slightly rough edges.
Yeah, you hit it. You nailed it. Look for little tiny pock marks, the little tiny like circles, like it's almost like a little piece of dirt in the clear coat that they put on the cards. Those will affect the grades. Real light scratching will affect the grades. Sharp corners versus, you know, a damaged corner will affect the grades. The edges, that all affects the grade centering. I recommend that you go to YouTube and buy a loop magnifier of some kind. There, you can get one for $15 to $20, and I prefer the lighted ones. Graders do look at cards at a 10x, so make sure that you're getting one that you can at least get a 10x of your card, and you'll be amazed at how many defects you can find and how the corners aren't perfect. So yes, that will definitely affect the grades.
Awesome stuff. Chad, I'm actually going to hit on Greeny Green real quick because I think his question reflects and applies to the first entry of the show where you're talking about strategies. He says, how do we feel about buying the big consignment sellers versus smaller sellers on eBay in terms of gem rates?
My data shows it's almost 50-50. I don't mind the small sellers versus the big sellers. Here's the thing with the big sellers, Greeny Green. The Jackson Holiday Autos, the small guy isn't selling those anymore. He's already holding on to them or sending them in for grading because he knows that that is the number one play in all of baseball. The consignment sellers, they've got thousands of cards in inventory. They might have had Jackson Holiday Autos dropped off back in July, and they just are getting to them now. And they upload them onto eBay and the different selling platforms as they get to them. So I know for a fact that there are several consignment sellers that I deal with that I buy from that have told me they're 3 months behind. So they're just loading cards now that people dropped off in August. So you will find the cards that you can't find anywhere else from the consignment sellers all during the off season. I would be extremely hesitant to buy from a small buyer if he was selling a Jackson Holiday in December, unless that person needed money for his car, for his rent. You know, there was a real story behind it. That small guy, either lived under a rock or he's pulling something shady. He's trying to get rid of the card because he knows it's not going to do real well. So he's putting it out there when there's not a lot of eyeballs to try and get more money on it. So I do like consignment sellers during the off season. This next, the best time to buy, guys, if you're watching, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, all sports, all cards, graded, non-graded. You're coming into the best buying season of the year. So get your cash and your money ready.
Bang. Guys, Dr. Crack makes my job easy up here. I can just tee him up with whatever you guys ask, and he's got a knowledgeable and valuable answer for you guys. So that's going to do it for this week's Sports Card Strategy Show Deep Dive with Dr. Crack, Chad Gill. Chad, appreciate the time as always. If you guys are listening, be sure to tune in every other Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time to get more of this knowledge and experience from Chad. And with that, we are going to let Paul take it away.
Great job on today's show, Connor and Chad. Thank you all for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Don't forget to get your free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com today, and you can get great information to help you build your sports card investment portfolio, as well as take classes at Sports Card School, sportscardschool.com. Don't forget to text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727 to get your sell alerts and your buy alerts. Also, we would love it if you leave us a positive review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Thanks for being part of the nooffseason.com family. Have a great day.